are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a special edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Traina, and we have a special breaking news type of podcast. This coming in addition to our regularly scheduled podcast, which is running on the air, the defensive draft preview that we did with Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network. But for this show, this is only going to be a quick show. We are going to talk about the breaking news that came down on Friday. The New York Giants have traded edge rusher Olivier Vernon and one of their fourth round draft picks to the Cleveland Browns. In exchange, the Giants get offensive guard Kevin Zeitler and the Browns' fifth round draft pick. So just a quick turn of events. It looked like yesterday the Giants weren't going to be able to find a trade partner for Vernon and his big contract. It looked like, according to the NFL Network, they were suggesting that it looked like the Giants had had a change of heart. That, of course, not the case. Things this time of year tend to develop very quickly. They tend to change very quickly. It's one of the pitfalls, unfortunately, of trying to keep up with all the rumors that come out. But with free agency getting ready to roll starting on Monday, the legal tampering period, just, you know, that's how it's going to be for the next few weeks, where you're going to hear something and then something's going to change and whatnot. So anyway, on this show, what we're going to do is I have Jeff Lloyd, who joined me. He's with Locked On Browns. He's the host over there. And Jeff was kind enough to give me his take on Kevin Zeitler, what the Giant fans can expect to get from Kevin Zeitler, to see from him, and how, you know, he's going to upgrade that offensive line. And then I have appeared on Jeff's show, and I talked about Olivier Vernon, what they can expect, and just basically the dynamics there and whatnot. So do make sure you check out Jeff's show. He's the host, again, of Locked On Browns. And I'm going to take a short break here, play that interview with Jeff, and then come back with some final thoughts on the transaction. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans. I'm joined now by Jeff Lloyd. He is the host of Locked On Browns, and he is here today because, Jeff, we have some news that involves our respective teams.
You know, just like this Friday a year ago, the Browns showed to be extremely active on this day. And obviously, you know, there's been a lot of talk here the past couple of days about something brewing between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants. Not exactly the extent of, you know, maybe what had been, you know, hoped or rumored about. But a move today, obviously, Olivier Vernon makes his way over to Cleveland. You know, more help was needed. John Dorsey was adamant about wanting more on the defensive line. The New York Giants, obviously, you know, if they're going to continue to run with Eli Manning, they wanted to continue to put pieces in place on the offensive line. And Kevin Zeitler heads over to New York. I think it's a very interesting move, and it's rare when you get to see a player-for-player move that I think at the end of the day is going to pay dividends for both franchises.
For sure. And for those of you tuning in, what we're going to do on the Locked On Giants podcast is Jeff's going to tell us a little bit about Kevin Zeitler so we know what the Giants are getting, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about Olivier Vernon for his show. So make sure you listen to both shows so that you get the two-sided perspective of the deal. And Jeff, let's start off. What are the Giants getting in Kevin Zeitler?
Well, you talk with a gentleman named Kevin Zeitler. Kevin Zeitler has missed one career game in his entire NFL career. So first things first, you're getting a stable player. He's heading into his seventh season now. Yes, he was making a good amount of money at almost $12 million, you know, as a cap hit. But he was graded, whether you want to use PFF or you go by anybody that, you know, grades and monitors offensive line play, he was one of the top, you know, if not the top overall, one of the top three right guards in the league this season. Kevin Zeitler he's a quiet guy. You know, definitely, you know, a company man. You're not going to hear a lot out of him. Shows up day in, day out. does his job. Obviously, you know, comes from the University of Wisconsin, where they just pump out offensive linemen year after year, pretty much a factory in that respect. I actually had Kevin on the show, got to speak with him. I do message with him and his wife a little bit. Really, really good people. I don't know if they were totally expecting the possibility of this, but you know, they're going to make their move on over, you know, now only, you know, to the east, even further, you know, east as they come on over from Wisconsin. Only 11 pressures given up by Kevin Zeitler last year. Obviously, that's a fantastic number. Solid run blocker as well. Just a great, great all-around player. And, you know, like I said, if they're going to keep Eli Manning around, you know, at Eli's age, you're going to need as good an offensive line as possible to keep him clean with, you know, the mobility seems to deteriorate a little bit more every year. But you couldn't ask for a better player to bring in Kevin Zeitler. Just an absolute, you know, unit of a man, big player, always plays, just a really, really good football player, and just maybe not talked about enough, in my opinion, as the type of player he actually is.
Now, over in Cleveland, I think I remember seeing that the Browns actually changed the way they did the blocking scheme for Baker Mayfield, who's one of the, you know, a shorter quarterback. Can you just talk a little bit about where Zeitler fits in? Is he more of a zone blocker or a power blocker? I know, again, I think they ran the dish scheme out there in Cleveland. Where is Zeitler's real fit?
I think, you know, he can pretty much fit anywhere. But a man, you know, guy in front of a man on man. I don't know so much zone. It's almost a waste. He's a big, strong, powerful guy. He's pretty agile. What the Browns wanted to do with Baker Mayfield is they wanted to have these guys to have, you know, strong upper bodies. They wanted to make sure defensive linemen were not going to get their hands up. You know, they wanted to give Baker, if Baker saw the window, they wanted the window to stay open. So, you know, that's what they did. And obviously they put an onus on the interior offensive line. Joel Bitonio makes a lot of money at left guard. J.C. Treader was making a lot of money at center. Kevin Zeitler was making a lot of money at right guard. Obviously, with the re-signing of Greg Robinson, now you paid $7 million there. Chris Hubbard making $8 million. All of a sudden, this Cleveland Browns offensive line kind of got pretty expensive. So, you know, they drafted Austin Corbett with the 33rd overall pick, barely played as a rookie. I mean, that's a good situation. Nobody got hurt. They were able to start the offensive line they wanted to start week in, week out. But, you know, a guy like John Dorsey drafts somebody at 33 overall, he's going to get him on the field. How do you do that? You kind of look, oh, maybe we can save some money on the offensive line. You know, Corbett was pegged to be probably one of the guards. Zeitler was the most expensive guard. It was probably how they ended up shopping his name around. But Kevin Zeitler can play in any system. He's just a tremendously easy player. There's no headaches. He'll just show up and just do whatever he's asked. That's the way it is. He's one of the most unassuming $12 million players you're ever going to have on a roster.
And it sounds like he's going to fit in really well on that Giants offensive line because, you know, they have Nate Solder, who's like that. John Halapio mm-hmm. is like that. Will Hernandez is like that. What about what Kevin maybe doesn't do as well? Because every player has their strengths. Obviously, every player has their weaknesses. Does this guy have a weakness?
Now as a seventh-year player, pulling ability, I mean, he can do it. You're not going to say, oh, well, we're going to just make this a part of it because we have this big, you know, because we have this agile guard. Kevin's more of a, you know, a phone booth player. He's going to win a lot more battles than he's ever going to lose. And that's maybe where they're going with, obviously, Will Hernandez is a dog. Obviously, Nate Solder is a big, big, strong man as well. I think you're just kind of going with a beef. One-on-one, man-to-man, left to right, where you're just going with big, tough, strong guys who don't lose very often.
And then let's talk just real quick about Vernon and where he might potentially fit in on that Cleveland line. You know, you've got Myles Garrett what's the overall feeling about the acquisition? How are Browns fans and the media feeling about acquiring Vernon?
Well, the thing was, obviously Myles Garrett, everything you'd ever, you know, expect in a number one overall pick. Larry Ogunjobi, just an emerging player going into his third year at defensive tackle, an outstanding player. The problem is they really had nothing else on that defensive line. Jannard Avery, a rookie last year, played some DN in passing situations and was productive. But they had nothing else on the interior. They had nothing else really at an edge guy. Larry Ogunjobi and Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett played more snaps as an edge player than anybody else in the league last year. Larry Ogunjobi was the same thing as an interior player. These guys took way too many snaps in 2018. They needed a ton more depth. and a ton more quality players on this defensive line. Olivier Vernon comes in here. He's not going to have to be the guy. He's going to play at left defensive end. He's not going to be asked to go out and hit 12 to 13 sacks. You already have that in Myles Garrett. He's going to see a lot of one-on-ones, if not almost always a one-on-one. Larry Ogunjobi is a great pass rusher up the middle. Myles Garrett is a guy that you're always going to have to put more than one set of eyes and more than one set of hands on. So it should, as long as, you know, Olivier Vernon, which was some of the issue, obviously, with you guys in New York, is, you know, he did miss some time or he did carry some nagging injuries. But you put him here where he's going to kind of play second fiddle to Larry Ogunjobi and Myles Garrett. This should be a dream situation for him production-wise.
Do you anticipate that maybe the Browns will try and ask him to lower that cap number?
I'm sure they may ask. But the money here is almost kind of – it's kind of a squash here. And the way it works for the Browns is, you know, even if the money being as close as it is, the Browns are okay with it because now it's filling two positions. You filled the pass rusher need that you had. You had a guy that you drafted at 33 overall, now going into his second season, who you didn't have a spot for. So essentially, you picked up a defensive end while saving almost $11 million at your right guard position on your cap. So it's not really – it's not a financial issue because you're filling two positions for the same amount of money as opposed to just having Kevin Zeitler. So financially, it's a good move. Sure, would John Dorsey maybe want to do that? Olivier's only 28. Do you want to maybe talk? But the other thing is Olivier Vernon's contract runs out just as Myles Garrett starts to hit that fifth-year rookie option. And then you're talking some serious, serious money on a salary cap. So for right now, I'm not sure if they would even mess with it, thinking that maybe he would only be here two seasons anyway.
All right, great stuff. He's Jeff Lloyd. He hosts Locked On Browns. This is Patricia Traina. Thanks for listening, Giant fans. We'll have more when we return. All right, Giant fans, great stuff from Jeff Lloyd. Want to thank him for coming on the program. And before we call it a show, just a few thoughts about where the Giants go from here, the cap hit, and all that other good stuff. I did put an article out today on Forbes.com regarding the cap ramifications of this trade. Right now, the Giants cleared roughly $1.5 million in cap space when you do all the math and you factor in the dead money, the exchange of the base contracts, and so on and so forth. And I also put forward on my Forbes article a proposed scenario to lower Zeitler's $10 million cap hit that he will cost the Giants this year. He does have $3.5 million of his $10 million base salary guaranteed. So I do have in there a proposal on how the Giants could maybe have that cap hit cut in half. So do make sure you check it out. Google Patricia Traina Forbes and you'll go right to my page and be able to see that article. It's the latest article that I put out. Few other thoughts now. Okay, so where did the Giants go from here? That's the big question. So Kevin Zeitler, of course, is an offensive guard. He was Pro Football Focus's sixth best guard last year. So what does this mean now for Jamon Brown, who played that right guard position? Well, it could mean a couple of things. Number one, the Giants could be thinking of maybe re-signing Jamon Brown and having him play right tackle. Jamon Brown did work at right tackle last year. When he was on the podcast with me last year, he did mention that he was, you know, working some snaps there. Unfortunately, the media is not allowed to watch practice during the season, so I couldn't tell you exactly how he looked or, you know, how that was coming along. Only the coaches know that at this point. So that's certainly a possibility. And it would make sense, I think, you know, if Jamon Brown can do it, it would make a lot of sense because you re-sign him and now you don't have to worry about affecting your potential compensatory picks that you're looking for next year. So, in other words, you know, Landon Collins is gone. I have a feeling they're not going to re-sign Kerry Wynn, the defensive end. You know, if they let Jamon Brown go, he could bring in conceivably a high compensatory pick. So, you know, if you're the Giants and you're not convinced you're going to get your quarterback this year, maybe that's what you do. You just kind of let these guys go and replace them with draft picks. So we'll see if that's indeed the plan. Meanwhile, so what did the Giants do on defense since Olivier Vernon was really their only pass rusher of note. The answer there is they're going to draft, folks. I still say they're going to go defensive pass rusher. I could see them maybe going defensive pass rusher with their first two picks because this is a loaded class. They need a lot of help in that spot. I think for, at safety, you know, if, to replace Landon Collins, I could see them maybe going with, I don't know, Michael Thomas or a lower-priced veteran. I think the big bucks is going to be spent on a free safety. I would think a guy like maybe Adrian Amos of the Chicago Bears might be a good fit there. I'm curious to see what they do with Kareem Martin. I think they're going to hold on to him. I don't think they'll cut him. But, you know, I'm just wondering if maybe they might rework that contract in some way, shape, or form. Because I don't know if he would necessarily fit in as one of the pass rushers. And especially, you know, if the Giants go and they draft a pass rusher, an outside pass rusher, you figure you're going to want to have that rookie and maybe Lorenzo Carter. And then if they pick up a veteran on the cheap, those would be your pass rushers. So I'm not really sure how Kareem Martin will fit into that mix. Obviously, the Giants have to answer the right tackle situation. Do they go for a Darrell Williams from Carolina? Or like I said, do they stick with Jamon Brown? Or is there another option? Maybe they get a guy in the draft. Who knows? But a lot of decisions still to come. Don't forget, starting next week, we have the legal tampering period. Free agency starts next week. And the game plan is we're going to keep on doing shows. We're going to try and do a show every day. If we have breaking news, I will come back on and I'll do a quick hit so that you can keep up with everything. And I hope that schedule will work for you guys. And don't forget, I also have coming on the show with me, we're gonna tape it actually on Monday afternoon, but Amy Trask is going to come on the program with me on Monday, and then I'm going to run that show probably on Tuesday. So make sure you check that out. Really excited to have Amy Trask, former Raiders executive, now with CBS Sports. Real excited to have her on the program. So, all right, Giant fans, I'm going to call it a show. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this extra edition of Locked On Giants. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.